Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for the reminder what Christmas is about. Oh, we know it. We know it well. And yet, it seems to come and slip through our fingers so rapidly that oftentimes the meaning never really does impact us. Speak to us even now through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first Advent is that time that we celebrate this year. The whole idea of an Advent is just the idea that there was something that was coming. There was something that was going to arrive. There was something to look forward to and to be expected. And of course, that first Advent was the coming of a Messiah. Promised in the book of Genesis, prophecies through the hundreds through the Old Testament. You would have expected everybody to be looking forward to the first advent of Christ, but as we learn, there was very few people looking forward to it. Take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2 is where I want you to go. And in Matthew chapter 2, we are seeing a condensed story of the Christmas story. In Luke, we find even more details, but in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 2, we read saying, let's pick up verse 1. Now, after Jesus, born of Bethlehem of Judea in those days, Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Verse 2, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, who are these guys? I don't know. There have been guesses, there have been theories, wondering how could these wise men, these magi, what was it that told them that there was going to be a coming king? How did they know about a star? There are some who think that maybe when Daniel and his buddies were in Babylon, that there was some prophecies that may have been given, but nevertheless, these guys are strange. They are not a part of the big picture, or they are a part of the big picture. But when we look at the Old Testament, God had been working with the Jews. It was the Jews that God gave his word to. It was the Jews that God gave his prophets to. It was the Jews that God had given his commands and his laws and his statutes. It was the Jews that God had instructed how to worship him and to approach him. It was the Jews that knew all of this, but nevertheless, these wise guys, these magi, knew enough that there was going to be a king, and they believed it. How far have they traveled? I mean, they struck out on a hunch. They struck out with just a little bit of knowledge and seeing a new phenomenon in the sky. There was a star, and they took off. They believed. They believed. And there's Herod. He's interested. And so in verse 3, it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. You don't get troubled about things you don't believe. Now we get troubled by things we perceive to be that may not be. But Herod hears this from these strangers who have traveled from afar. He's troubled. And all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So Herod took the announcement of these wise men, these magi who had traveled afar, it had bothered him enough that he believed that there was a possibility that there was going to be a Messiah. And so Herod calls the chief priests and the scribes and people and says, where is this Messiah supposed to be born? Pretty amazing. In Matthew 3 through 6, verses 5 and 6, really what I'm going to look at, the Jews knew where to look. Look at it. Verse 5. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
These Jews, the chief priests and the scribes and the people, they knew the answer. I don't know. Did they have to go look? I don't know. But they knew where to look, and they knew the prophecies had predicted it. And so they knew the answer to the question. He is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Amazing. Now, Herod really believes. We're not going to read it. But you know what happens. God comes to the wise men after they had arrived to the home where Jesus was, and they saw the new Messiah, and God had warned the wise men not to go back to Herod. And so Herod realizes he's been tricked, but he's convinced there's a Messiah. There's a possibility of a king. There is the very possibility that these prophecies that the Jews knew the answer to could possibly be true. And he ordered that all male baby boys 2 years old and younger would be killed. He believed. And then were the Jews. Did they believe? Nah, people have been saying this ever since the very beginning, when time began. Pretty amazing, isn't it? The wise men from a distance believed enough to journey? Herod believed enough to slaughter children? And the Jews, who knew the answer, didn't even blink at the thought. Sad. He came to his own, and his own received him not. What was the cause? What was it that caused them to miss it? Well, I'm going to give you three possibilities or three scenarios that certainly impacted them. And number one was just plain finances and compromise. They had to live. Romans were in charge. And there were guys, even like Matthew, who had kind of compromised completely and went to work for the Roman government simply because he had to take care of his family. And was he the only one, or were there several who had compromised and got busy in life trying to make ends meet? It wasn't easy. I don't know. That's one thing. They had to live their lives. They had to make a living. Second thing, theology. Theology. What do I mean by theology? Doctrinal beliefs. What did they believe about the Bible? You know, they say that there was maybe as many as 11 different Jewish groups at this time, when Jesus came, 11 different Jewish sects. And it was kind of a personal theology. It was a thing where, you know, each of these had their own views, their own teachings, but Jesus accused all of them to be following the traditions and the teachings of men. This was no longer the final authority. They all had their own personal slant. They had their own personal thoughts. They all had their own personal beliefs. And so here they were. They were carrying their own theology. They studied their Bibles as they saw fit, and they believed what they thought was right, and they all missed it. Can you imagine that? They missed it. Theology, tradition, teachings of men. They had no clue. And the last thing, discouragement. Found that a couple of weeks ago when we looked at the 400 silent years when we opened up this series on Christmas, and God had been silent for 400 years, but prior to that silence, the Jews were already discouraged because of the hardships and the difficulties and the trials and the tribulation that they were facing. They were beginning to wonder, where is God? Where is his love? Where is his kindness? Where is his goodness? If he was such a loving, caring God, why would he be allowing this hardship and this difficulty and this trial? Why is it that I'm having to face all these hardships? And they were just discouraged. They had no hope. And so he comes and they miss it. The wise men believed, Herod believed, but the Jews let it go by. Our last study of Proverbs 18 reminded us that discouragement is quite a thing. As long as a person has a will to fight, as long as there's that inkling within them that's willing to hang on, to press forward, to see a light at the end of the tunnel, there is hope. But the moment, the very moment that a person allows all of that to be stripped away, it's over with. There's nothing a doctor could do or a psychologist could do.
or a Christian counselor could do. The very moment that somebody loses all their hope and they have just plain given up, there's nothing that can be done. I'm not going to turn here because of the time, but Paul points out in 2 Corinthians 4 that every little trial that we go through, and he calls them little, those minor little sufferings and tribulations that we face here on this earth, there is nothing, there is none of them, or even all of them put together, they cannot be compared to what we have to look forward to. That's the believing faith of a believer. That's the hope that keeps us going. That's what causes us to be burned at the stake and sing a hymn. That's the kind of hope that people are supposed to have, but it was gone. That first century, the Jews didn't have it. Let's jump ahead. The second advent. We know the answers. If I was to pull you off to the side and say, hey, what is it that may be a clue that the second coming, the second advent, might be getting close? If I was just to question you, you would have some answers, wouldn't you? Oh, you would say, there's going to be perilous times. Men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They will become proud and boasters and unthankful and disobedient to parents. They will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's what the Bible says the end times is going to be like. That's what the Bible says will be the atmosphere of the cultures in the second advent. There'll be those that would say, well, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes and pestilences. Like COVID? Maybe. And then there were those of us that would say, you know, as in the days of Noah, when everybody was going on with their lives and doing their own business and just marrying and giving in marriage, they didn't even have a clue that the flood was going to come. That's what Jesus told us it was going to be like at the second advent. There's going to be a falling away of the truth. People will have itching ears. They don't care what the Bible says. They're looking for people that will teach them exactly what they want to hear. They want to be told that their theology is right, that their personal take, their personal insight, their personal slant on the Bible is correct. They really don't care what it says. They're going to be looking for teachers that agree with. Do we believe this stuff? Nah. The people have been saying this for hundreds of years. No, don't get serious. It's where we are, isn't it? It's exactly where we are. It's exactly. All of us know what the Bible says about the end. It doesn't take somebody with great brilliance to see that things are really happening today. So what do we do? At the first advent, he came to his own and his own received him not. They weren't even looking. The second advent, we already know these truths to be true, but just keep on keeping on. So I don't know if our knowledge impacts us any better than the first century, but I'd like you to take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you've ever been to a graveside service with me, you know that 1 Thessalonians 4 is a popular one that we go to. It talks about the hope that we have in Christ, that the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the Lord. And we're looking forward to that time, looking forward to the end, leaving this life, going into the next life. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, Paul says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, you're not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are the sons of the light, sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep in the night, and those who get drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of our salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are so doing. What's Paul saying? He's coming. And you and I have a responsibility to stay awake, to be alert. We don't want to be like those first century Jews. We know the facts. We know what the Bible says. We are told of the warnings, and we're very aware of them, and we will even gather around and talk about these prophecies, and we will travel afar to listen to somebody preach on the prophecies. But do we really believe it? People have been talking like this all their lives. And then there's Peter. And Peter just says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening for the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved with fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for new heavens and new earth. You see, the Bible tells us that if we really believe in a second advent, if we really believe that Jesus is going to come again, if we really believe that there is coming an end to this age and we will walk into eternity, if we really believe in this hope, this blessed hope, we will change the way we live our lives. In fact, the Bible says we will purify ourselves so that if he was to come, he doesn't find me sleeping. He doesn't find me unaware. Those wise men believed. They believed, they sacrificed, they took risks, they traveled, and they found him. Herod believed. He believed to the extent that he was willing to massacre baby boys. But the Jews, nah. People have been talking about that since the time began. Let us not be guilty of what Peter warned about scoffers in the last days who say, where? You Christians, you have been talking about the second coming for all these years. And here we are, just continuing on as normal. Yep. And things will continue on as normal until that moment. Will he find you awake? I hope I'm awake. And I think you hope you're awake. It's okay to have slept yesterday. We made it to today. He was graceful with us, graceful to us. But there's no guarantee he'll give us another day. Let's make sure we're awake by looking for that blessed hope and coming of our Savior. Let's bow in a word of prayer. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. In order to really be awake, in order to really be ready for that second coming, you have to have known this Christ. That was the purpose of the first advent. He came, he was born, he lived a sinless life. He went to the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross that he could pay the penalty of my sins, your sins, that we could be forgiven and be given eternal life. And we first must come to know him first. We come to him through repentance. We cry out to God and we ask him to forgive us of our sins, our unbelief. We recognize that we deserve his wrath, but his gift was such a loving gift that he gave his only begotten son that if I would put my faith in him alone, in Jesus alone, he'll forgive me of my sins and give me the hope of eternal life. And if you're here and you've never done that, then right where you're seated, do it. Turn from your sins and put your faith in Christ alone. The majority of us here are believers, but are we sleeping believers? Are we just going about our business, watching everything happening around us and don't even have a clue that we could be at the very threshold of standing before our Lord and Savior? Don't let him catch you sleeping. Father, thank you for the reminder. Thank you for the hope that we have. I pray that you would help each of us to take these things seriously. We know our Bibles. We know them well. We know the truths of the second coming. In fact, we as a body of believers protect these doctrines pretty sacredly. And yet to believe these things to be true, it does us no good any more than the Jews knowing that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. These doctrines have to change us. These doctrines have to impact us in such a way that we live out what we really believe. Help us make an impact in this world in which we live. May people see within us a hope.